I have a bit of a U-turn on what we were discussing till now as to whether or not to bring a fresh challah or a fresh bread to the table when there isn't pshas benching. These things are all based on Kabbalah. It's all from the Zoya. And the question of what size pieces should be left behind and whether or not you should bring bread to the table if you've finished everything, etc. I'm not 100% clear yet. I'm trying to work it out with a chart to sort out what the halach is, if you do this, that, the other. So I'm just going to skip on to the next little, the next halacha, and I'll come back later tomorrow, maybe or the day after, and clarify the din as to what you do with making sure that there is some bread. Clearly, there is an inyan that there must be some bread on the table, we said, in order that the bracha can be chal. Exactly what you bring when there is, and what there's left, and whether the pieces are bigger than the kazayas, smaller than the kazayas, etc. There's a halacha brought down. The next halacha that's brought down is that if you can, they say that the halacha was different. Bisman ha-Gemara, people used to lie on their chaise longue or sit on their chair, and they used to have a little table in front of them, and everybody had their own little table, and that had the food on it. It had a mapa covering, and it had the food on it. There it says that it's important that before you wash mayim acharonim, that you should remove the table from your seat in order that the bread that's left over shouldn't get wet. Because if the bread that's left over gets wet, then it'll become moss, it'll become soggy, and nobody will want to eat it. And if they don't want to eat it, then you've got a problem with bal tashchis. So therefore, not a problem with tumah as well, all sorts of problems. So therefore they said that you should clear away the table. Says the Mishnah Berurah, brings down from other poskim that, however, bisman azeh, that we have the minig that we don't wash at the table but we wash elsewhere, then there's no problem. You can leave your table late and you go away. You wash your mayim achronim kaviyochel in the kitchen, yeah, and then you come back and you can eat and you've got no problem because your bread is not going to become wet. Says the Mishnah Berurah. However, bisman azeh, the minig has gone back to the old minig. We don't go out. We go out for mayim rishonim. We go and wash in the kitchen sometimes, or in another place, in the hall or wherever there's a sink. We go there to wash for mayim rishonim. But mayim achronim, people wash at the table. Yeah? And therefore there is a risk that when you're washing mayim achronim at the table, that the bread that's left over might get wet. If the bread becomes wet and soggy, nobody will want to eat it. It becomes moss, etc. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, the bisman azeh, we should be careful. If we're washing mayim achronim at the table, first push away all the edible bread that is within range. That if the mayim achronim would suddenly, and it happens occasionally, that the cup would spill, it gets knocked over, whatever it is, that the bread should be out of range, so that when we wash mayim achronim, there isn't a risk that the mayim, that the bread that's left over will become moss.
Start with Dale Torway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Kof Bay 7, 18th of June. Rabbi Elchanan Goldblatt, Shlita, Radifas HaKobed. This week's Torah is sponsored by Founder Ratzadorf, of Eli Ratzadorf of Nera Yor, whose Mitzvah is this coming. Shabbos Yivot and Shizko Rubles, Kehul, Rab Nacha, Semen, and Kol Yotzei, Chol Atzehem. L'schus HaShvim, L'Achayelim, V'Milchamo, Sheyachzru L'Votayim, L'Sholom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. Good morning, Bishus. Glad to see so many old friends. This is, as ever, a sikha that our Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chaim Shulevitz gave in the Mir a long time ago on Parsha Shlach Lecha. So the pasuk, which you'll see there is number one, talking about the Meraglim, says, Vayishlachu son Moshe mimidbar poron al pi Hashem. Moshe sent them from Midbar Poron by the word of Hashem. Kulam anoshim, they were all men. So Rashi says, you think they'd send women on something like that? So Rashi says there's a chiddush in the word anoshim. Have a look at the mocha number two. Kol anoshim sheba mikro lashon chashivas. Wherever the Torah says anoshim, where the word anoshim would seem to be superfluous, means chashivas also shok sheirim hoya. At that moment, they rule kosher. All right, good. So let's have a look at the list and think a little about the sequence. The first one mentioned is from Matei Reuven, Shamua ben Zakur. The second one is from Matei Shimon, Shofat ben Chori. third one is from Matei Yudah, Kolev Ben Yifuneh, Kolev we know. The fourth one is Matei Yisachar, Yigol Ben Yosef. And the fifth one is Matei Ephraim, Hoshea Bin Nun, Hoshea, which is Yoshua, whom we know. So on the list, Kolev, who remained at Tzaddik, is number three. And Hoshea, whom we know as Yehoshua, is number five. So the question arises as to what is the logic of the sequence, which begins with Reuven, Shamua ben Zakur, Shimon, Shafat ben Chori, and has Kolev as number three and Yoshua as number five. So there is a Ramban. It's here in the notes as number four. Says the Ramban, Mona hakosuv ha-shavotim, the pasuk lists the shvotim, lo ledigleihem, not in the order of the degolim, the order in which they were camped around the Mishkan. Lo letivoseum, not according, I assume that means descending order of numbers. Lo kasola doson, not in order of birth, because though Reuven is the oldest and Shimon is the second, but Yisachar is not the fourth. Says the Ramban, Nire sheroa limnoson heino lefi malas hashluchim. It's according to their milas, it's descending order of chashivas. That is to say that at the moment when they went, Shamua ben Zakur was more choshev than any of the others, certainly more choshev than Kolev and Yoshua. And Shafat ben Chori, who is second in chashivas, was more choshev than Kolev and Yoshua. And Yigal ben Yosef, though he was less choshev than Kolev, but he was more choshev than Yoshua. So what we're looking at is this, a situation where, over a period of slightly less than 6 weeks, 10 of the 12 Meraglim, all of whom were kosher when they started, and three of whom were more kosher than Yoshua, and two of whom were more kosher than Kolev, slipped all the way from that level of chashivas down to where they slipped to. And we need to spend a few minutes thinking about how and why such a thing could happen. So how far did they slip? Have a little look at the pasuk there, number five. V'hanashim. Asher Luimo Omaru, the men who went up with him, said, Lo nuchalla lo silaom, we can't go up against this people, chi chazoku mimenu, they are stronger mimenu. Now on mimenu, Rashi quotes part of a Gemara, and I am going to step aside from Reb Chaim and talk a bit about the Gemara, because there are bits there which interest me, which were not his sort of thing, though I'm sure he knew them. So Rashi says, Kivyochu klapi mala omru, let me explain. The word mimenu in Hebrew has two possible meanings. It can mean than us, or it can mean than him. So poshup shat in the posuk is they said, chazok hu mimenu, these people are stronger than us. But this Rashi, quoting part of the Gemara, says, not they're stronger than us, but they're stronger than him. Kfira. They said, they reached the stage over this period of less than 6 weeks, where from having all of them been kosher, and three more kosher than Yoshua, and two more kosher than Kolev, where they said, these goyim, these Canaanim are stronger than God. Okay, now, that's a level of kfira which, you know, there's got to be something really special to get you to slip that far. Let me just talk about that Gemara a bit, because there are things in there which are perhaps a niche interest, but interest me. The Gemara's there in number 7. Omer Abchnina bar Papa, Dov Agodl, Dibru Meraglim, Boisu Shor. The Meraglim said an extraordinary thing at that moment. Chazot mimenu, al tikri mimenu, elo mimenu. Don't read mimenu, read mimenu. So if you have a look at the Rashi, Rashi says mimenu min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al tikri says Rashi lo goros. This text is not correct. What do you mean this text is not correct? Says Rashi, you can't say al tikri. Ein hefrish kriya ben mimenu anemra al yochid, shenid borim olav, the mimenu shorabin, says Rashi, there's no difference in the Hebrew between mimenu meaning than us and mimenu meaning than him. So therefore, says Rashi, you can't have in the Gemara, don't read mimenu, because whichever way you read it, it's mimenu. Okay, that's the Rashi. I should mention that I came across a Maritz Chias a few months ago, quoting a Rambam in the Mora, which I checked and it's there. The Rambam says that every case in the Gemara which says al tikre el al tikra is poetic license. The Rambam uses the Loshen lazus shiro, poetic license. And the Maritz Chias asks against that from a particular case where the Gemara learns alocha from it. But in the meantime, Rashi says, you can't say al tikre the el al that, because it's the same text. Mimenu than us, mimenu than him. You can't. And the Tosfos there says, Al tikra mimenu rofe, ele mimenu dogish. What does that mean? So the Mincha Shai quotes Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says that there was a difference in the pronunciation in Eretz Yisrael from the pronunciation in Bovel. In Eretz Yisrael, they said Mimenu meaning than us, and Mimenu meaning than him the same way. But in Bovel, Mimenu meaning than us did not have a dogish in the Nun, and Mimenu meaning than him did have a dogish in the Nun. That's Ibn Ezra quoted by the Mincha Shai. In which case, one does not have to necessarily follow Rashi, who said, Mimenu means than us, Mimenu means than him. The Gemara can't say, don't read Mimenu, read Mimenu, because it's the same. The Ibn Ezra would have said, that the people in Bavel would have said, don't read Mimenu without a nun meaning than us. Read without a dogish, thank you very much, without a dogish in the nun meaning than us. Read Mimenu with a dogish in the nun meaning than him, and the Gemara can stand as it is. Now, you remember they had BC and BCE and I'm BA, I'm from before Art Scroll. So before Art Scroll, if you got stuck in Russia, you looked in Rosenbaum and Silverman. And in the footnotes at the back in Rosenbaum and Silverman, they quote an article in German, which I don't have access to, written by an author whom I've never heard of, who says that there is good evidence that in Bovel, than him was Mimanu, and then them was Mimenu. Now, you will notice that I did a screen dump and it doesn't come clear. For the meantime, let's go back to Reb Chaim. So here we have 12 people, all of whom were kosher b'os ashor, two of whom were more choshev than Kolev, and three of whom were more choshev than Yeshua. And within less than 6 weeks, ki chazaku mimenu, they say that the Knaanim are stronger than him, which is kfira. Not just this, if you look at number 12, there is a mission in Sanhedrin which says, Meraglim ein lam chelek leilam habo. Over 6 weeks, from all of them having been kosher, and many of them having been kosher, they flip to a stage where they commit kfira, and they don't have a chelek in olam habo. How can that happen? So the Rosh Yeshiva used to quote a Masilis Yeshorim, it's here as number 13, Hu shegolam lefidas chachomeinu zichronom livrocho. This is what brought about the effect to the Meraglim, according to Chazal, sheyotziu dibo ala oretz, that they slandered the land, and it caused them to die, and it caused all their generation to die in the wilderness. They were concerned that they might be reduced in status when they went into Eretz Israel, and they would get a lower level of covet. They will not be Nasiim anymore. The verse Pasuk says, Roshav Nei Yisrael Hamar. Let me look at it exactly. Kulam anoshim roshev nei Yisrael heimal. So that's not the pasuk which says Nasiim, but Nasiim. They won't be Nasiim anymore. Yamdu acherim b'mkomam. Other ones will be Nasiim. So the danger that they might lose a percentage of their covered, that is what led to this catastrophic collapse in the level of their emunus and their deus, from having been ksherim, and some of them more choshev than Kolev and Yeshua, to a stage where they say chazaku mimenu, and they lose their olam haba. And that's the mission in others. Reb Lezra Kappa says that kino, taiva, and kova take someone out of the world. Kino is one of them, being jealous of other people, wanting covered. So this position of Nasiim, which they had, which they were so concerned that they might lose, concerned to such a level that they lose their olam haba through this and they come to kfira, what level of Nasiim were they? So you remember that the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, that's number 15 on the list, you will remember that Moshe's quality, the things which lead HaKadosh Baruch Hu to choose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader, are not his skills as a leader, they're his connection to Ruchnius and his care about people. Moshe didn't even think of the idea of delegating. The idea of delegating some of the responsibilities was thought of by his father-in-law, Yisro, who says, Techezeh avato sechezeh mikol ha'om anshei chayil, choose from the people anshei chayil, yirei lekim anshei emes sonei votza. He didn't manage to find all of these. The old joke is told they went to Yehudaleib Maimon in the early days of the Medina, wanted to make a Sanhedrin. So they said to him, how will you find people say nevotza. He said, Daiganish vageld kriegt man alles. For money you can find anything, which is wonderful. But for the meantime, sam toilehem put over them, sorei alofim, sorei meyos, sorei chamishim, sorei asaros, people responsible for 1,000, for 100, for 50, for 10. So if you work it out, 600,000 people, there must have been approximately 600, sorei elef. 600,000 people, approximately 6,000, sorry, meos. 600,000 people, approximately 12,000, sorry, chamishim. What was the level of nesius that the 12 meraglim had? And Reb Chaim quoted a Bala Turim. The Bala Turim here is number 16. It's a gematria. Roshei v'nei Yisrael heimor. Look at the word heimor. What's the gematria of heimor? He is 5, mem is 40, that's 45. The last hey is another 5. 45 plus 5 is 50. Blamit show you, sorry, chamishim. So, if we take the Rashi, they were all kosher at that time, and the Ramban, that the sequence is descending order of chashivas, and the Masilis Yeshorim, that the concern that they might lose their position as Nisiyan is what led them to this catastrophic collapse. There were, as far as I can see, 6,600 Nesiyim more important than them. There were 11,988 as important as them. And for a position that was below 6,600 and only equivalent to 11,000, for that, they lost their Olam Haba, they reached a level of Kfira, they led to the entire that is what COVID does. Reb Chaim believed that seeking for COVID is absolutely poisonous. He quotes, not in this sicha, but in another one, I think it's Pei Base, but look at it if you wish, a chazal about Yerovam ben Nevot. You will remember that Yerovam ben Nevot from Shevet Ephraim is the one who split the kingdom. He's the one who led the rebellion against Rehoboam ben Shlomo and created the northern kingdom with 10 Shevotim, and that was in its own way a disaster. And the Psukim in Melachim, Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, talk about various Nisim which happened, and Novi, and Anishel Akim, and so on and so forth. And Posuk Lamed Gimel I've put in as number 18. Achar Adover Azer, after this event, after the miracles with the Anishel Akim and the Novi, and Yerovam's hand got stopped on the way to the Israel, and I don't remember what else. Lo Shav Yerovam Midarko Harah. He didn't go back from his wicked ways. So have a look at the Rashi, which is there at 18a. Acha Adova Zer, Rois HaMophis Azer, he saw the miracle which happened. Shom is Divrei HaNovi, he heard the words of the Novi. Avo Pikein Lo Shav, even so he didn't turn back. That's Pshat HaPoshet Rabbi Seinu Dorshu. And it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Acha Shetafosu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bevigdoi, V'omar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yerovam ben Nevot by his garment and said to him, Chazabok tu tshuva, v'ani v'atu ben Yishai natayl v'gen Eden, and you and I and ben Yishai will be together in Gan Eden. Now the Gemara actually says a little bit more than Rashi does. My achar, have a look at 18b. Omar Rebaba, achar shetefos v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yerovam bevigdo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yerovam by his garment, said to him, Chazabok tu tshuva, Vani va'atu ben Yishai natayl b'Gan Eden. You and I and ben Yishai will be together in Gan Eden. This, I mean, an offer like that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what it means, I wasn't there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just do tshuva, and you and I and ben Yishai. Amar lo mi b'roish, Yerovam ben Nevot said, who will be at the front? Who will be at the front? Ben Yishai b'roish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ben Yishai. You and I are Ben Yishai, but Ben Yishai will be before you. Ihachi lo b'ino, if so, I don't want it. That is what covered does. The redifa after covered, that's what it does. Kodesh Baruch Hu goes to Yerovam and says, if you do tshuva, we'll be together in Gan Eden. He says, it's Ben Yishai's in front of me, I'll manage without it, thank you very much. And Reb Chaim used to point out that there is a difference between Redifas HaKovod and all the other Yitzrei Hora, because Kovod isn't there. It doesn't exist. I mean, someone who wants Macholos Asuras, Ich Weis, somebody who wants, I don't know, Chaza, Well, I mean, it's nisid derais, it's a terrible thing. We think of it as disgusting. But there's something real that he's taken and ingested into his body, covered. There's nothing there. Someone who goes for aroyas, giluya aroyas. I mean, the fact is that is covered is nothing. There's nothing there. I remember hearing Pesach Kron telling a story about one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. Forgive me, I don't remember who. This Talmud of the Arizal was a goysus, he was dying. And on his deathbed, somebody leaned over to him and said, "Der Yetzer Hara noch bei dir?" Is the Yetzer Hara still with you? And he said, "Zichiyor, certainly yes." "Vujokter," what's the Yetzer Hara saying? So what the Yetzer Hara was saying was, "Say Shema Yisrael loud and clear, they should all say Yotzeson Nishmoso Betaro." I mean, on his deathbed, the last for covered, nothing. I mean, meaningless. And that's what it is. So is pursuing covered always wrong? In Yitzhak Shem, in a couple of weeks' time, Parshas Chukas, the Haftorah is the story of Yiftach HaGilodi. So Yiftach HaGilodi hoyo gibber chayil. I don't know what a gibber chayil is. The authorized version says a mighty man of valor, so I still don't know what a gibber chayil is, but he was a gibber and a chayil. Good, fine. Vehu benisho zono. There's something wrong with his yichus. If you look in the Mefarshim, I mean pshat aposhet is benisho zono. Some of the Mefarshim say his mother was an innkeeper. Good. Some of the Mefarshim say she was a pilegesh. It was a marriage without a ksuva. Some say she was from a different shape. Whatever it is, there was something wrong with the yichus. And the sons of the proper wife kicked him out. Vayhi hayom, the king of Ammon invaded. That's the relevance to Parshas Chukas. The king of Ammon invaded. And they needed the Gibbe Chayil to lead the army. They needed him back, and he'd been kicked out. So if you have a look at number 20, Vayomru Yiftach, they said to Yiftach, "Lechot, come, v'yisal lonu lekotzin, you can be the general, v'nilo chamo b'vnei Ammon, and let's fight b'nei Ammon." Well, that's quite a choshev ha'maimed, isn't it? Kotzin, the general. And Yiftach said to Ziknei Gilod, "Hallo atem sneisim osi, you hated me, vat koshuni bibes ovi, and you kicked me out of my father's house. Madua bosim elai ato kashet alechem, why are you coming to me now when you're in trouble? Thank you very much, when you weren't in trouble you expelled me, and now you don't want me." So they got the message. Vayomru Ziknei Gilod el Yiftach, and the Ziknei Gilod said to Yiftach, "Lochein ato shavnu elecha, we've come back. Olachtim on you, come with us, nechot, we'll fight Bnei Ammon. Yisolonu l'rosh l'chol yoshvei Gilod." Okay, Kotzin is not enough. You can be the head of all the people of Gilod. Vayomru Yiftach el Ziknei Gilod, Yiftach said to Ziknei Gilod, "If you bring me back to fight Bnei Ammon, and Hashem gives them before me, anochi eyeh lochem l'rosh, I will be the rosh." And if you have a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, they made him the Rosh and the Katzin. Vayedava Yiftach kol dvorot bnei Hashem b'mitzvah, says Rashi. What does it mean? Yiftach said all the words before Hashem. Hatnai, Yiftach announced the Tanai in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me, was he or was he not asking for covered? Reb Chaim said covered is poisonous. The Mesillas Yisholim has said it's Redivus HaKovod which led 10 people to lose their Hashivas, lose their Kashas, turn into Kofrim, and lose Olam Haba. The Gemara has said that Yerovam ben Nevat, because of Kovod, refused a direct offer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take him to Gan Eden. How can Yiftach ask for Kovod? Reb Chaim says it depends why. If I want Kovod for me, that's poisonous. Hakina Vataiva VaKovod Metzilas Od Min HaOlam. But if I want covered for another purpose, got nothing at all to do with me, but to benefit other people, that's okay. So why did Yiftach HaGilodi say, not enough to be the Kotzin? And he waited, and they said, "You can be the Rosh." Okay, I'll be the Rosh. And he announces it in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to get a seal on it. Because, says Reb Chaim, Yiftach believed that in order to win the war, he has to be the Rosh. In order to win the war, he has to be accepted by all the people of Gilod, believed in as the Rosh and as the Kotzin. A temporary general is not enough. That will not create sufficient belief in him as the leader for him to defeat Melech Ammon, For him to defeat Melech Amon, he has to be the Rosh B'chol Anshei Gilad. And that's why he asked for it, not for any other reason. If he'd asked for it because, you know, I'm not, Kotzin is not good enough for me, I have to be more than that, that would have been poisonous, like the Meraglim wanting to be Nasiim, like Yerovam ben Avot wanting to be Barosh ahead of Ben Yishai. But if he wanted it in order that the war to protect Klal Yisrael should succeed, that's okay. Good. So there is a pasuk in Shofetim about the end of the life of Shimshon. People remember the Mishnah in Sota, which says about Mido Keneged Mido, that Shimshon chota ba'enov l'chichach nokru plishtim es enov. Shimshon went after his eyes, and therefore he was blinded. So there is Shimshon, a slave, in chains, blinded, and Shimshon appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's there with all those plishtim. Vayikra, it's number 22. Vayikra, Shimshon el Hashem vayomar. And Shimshon called to Hashem and he said, Hashem Elokim zochreini no, remember me please, chaskeini no, strengthen me please, acha pam azeh, this once, vinok monikam achas, and I should get the comma for one of my two eyes. Zochreini no, what's he supposed to remember? So Rashi says, and it's a Gemara in Sota, Zachar esrim shono shofat Yisrael velo omati le'echomem haveli makl zeh mokum zeh. Remember the 20 years I was a shofet and I never asked anyone to do me a favor. I never asked for any covet. Nekam achas mishteyenai, give me nekama for one of my eyes, and the schar for the other one that they blinded, leave me for olam haba. So he's asking, in the schus of the fact that he never asked a favor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay back for the fact that they've blinded him. And if you remember, he pulls the roof down and he kills more plishtim on that day than he killed in the whole of the rest of his wars and the whole of the rest of his life. And Reb Chaim said the implication is that if he just once said, excuse me, could you just pass me that stick? He would have taken something off the zechuyus which he had, and the ceiling would not have fallen down. If he'd at any stage asked for covet, he would not have got this schar that the roof falls down and he kills what? But surely, during his 20 years as shofet, they must have given him covet from time to time. I mean, he may never have asked, but I assume that when he came in, they stood up. I assume they left him a place on the mizrach. I mean, he never had any covet. If you remember the psukim about Moshe, number 24 here, Lo chamor echad mehem nososi, I've never taken any favors from them, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Even when I was coming back to Mitzrayim and I put my wife and my children on a donkey, I used my own donkey. I didn't get a car from the firm. Are you telling me that in all the years Moshe Rabbeinu, they never gave him any covet? They didn't stand up when he walked from the tent to the old moed or back? Of course they did. For that matter, Shmuel, in number 26, Esher mi lokachti v'chamur mi lokachti ves mi oshak. Shmuel never had any covet. What is going on here with Shimshon, who says, the schar that I never asked for any favors? With Moshe Rabbeinu, who says, I was entitled, but I didn't take. With Shmuel, who says, I never took. So Reb Chaim says this. These people had reached a madrega where the cover that other people gave them meant nothing to them. When somebody stood up for Shimshon, as far as Shimshon was concerned, I mean, it's very nice and thank you very much, but they might perfectly well have been standing up for somebody else. It has no impact on him. When somebody stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, that's very nice and it's the right thing to do, but it has no impact on him. It's as if they'd stood up for somebody else. If somebody stood up for Shmuel Anovi, yes, it's very nice, but it has no impact. It means nothing to him. So Reb Chaim said two things. One is, the madrega at which we should be aiming, which we can aim at, and he thought people can achieve, is that when people give us covered, we should, like Shimshon, like Shmuel, like Moshe Rabbeinu, be able to feel that it's very nice of them, but to me, on me, that has no impact. And for sure we shouldn't ask for covered. If Shimshon had once asked somebody to pass a stick, the ceiling would not have fallen in. But separately, what we've been talking about for the last 27 minutes is my attitude to covered, which they give to me. The other side of covered, which I haven't spoken about at all, is that we are, of course, chayav to give covered to other people. Yes, covered for me should be meaningless. Covered for me, I mean, there's nothing there. By contrast with chaza, by contrast with aroyas, there's nothing there. Not only that, if you ask for covered, it'll cost you. But giving covered to other people, that's a chiyuv. That's absolutely something that we have to do. I hope and trust that they reach the madrega where it makes no difference to them, but it is something that I personally have to do. And Yiftach, of course, will one. Maisa Ovis, Simon the Bonne. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know what it means. What it means is that they divided them up as responsibility for a group of 10 specific and a sorry Hamishim has responsibility for a 15 names. Yisrael is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu.